Do you think that the world as a dark place, the dark in the sense of evil, dark and evil, sometimes it could appear to be a facade of good, right? But it doesn't take much to reveal what's truly behind this world. Because look around, and what do you see? And look back in history, and what do you see? We see darkness, we see evil everywhere. We see genocides, we see abortions on demand, we see child slavery, we see children soldiers, we see the exploitation of the vulnerable, we see family violence. And then we see sin paraded and glorified. We think of this LGBTQ agenda that's just pushed in our face and said, this is good, this is good. And it even condemns those who don't want to glorify it with it. We think of bullying in the playground and how cruel children can be to one another. We think of the lies that attack biblical manhood and biblical womanhood, which are destroying families, destroying individuals. Children growing up with distracted mothers and absent fathers. Sin, evil, lies, they characterize our world. It characterizes the world we live in today, and it characterizes the world of the past as well. The world is a dark and evil place. And the world is evil because it's made out of people who are inherently selfish and who are in their hearts are evil. The world is a dark place because people's hearts are dark and evil. So what happens? What happens when a light shines in a dark place? What do living things do when light is shone in a dark place? They can do either one or two things, right? One thing, think of what happens when you kick over a log and there's all these insects. They go scurrying. As soon as they see the light, they try and find more darkness to hide under. That's one response. They run in fear of the light. But then there's another response, a response of joy, of gladness. And you think of a person lost in a dark forest at night. When they see a light, what does that mean? That means rescue. That means relief. And so what do they do when they see the light? They want to turn to it and they want to go to it and follow it. Because the light means shelter, because the light means safety. And so in this passage that we've just read, this passage we're studying this morning, we see that the light has come into the world. And we see two responses to the light. Some reject the light and hate the light. They try to find more darkness to hide under. But others receive the light. They rejoice in the light. And they live to reflect that light. And to live in light of that light. Because Jesus is the light in this dark world. And there are two responses to his coming, two responses to his message. Some hate the light and shrink back whenever they hear it. Others cling to the light, knowing it's the only hope in this dark and evil world. So today, we will see one light in a dark world, and two possible responses to the light. To help us work through this passage, we'll divide it into three ways. And we're going to see that the light is revealed. Light is revealed. The light rejected, verses 19 to 20. And the light received. So the light revealed, the light rejected, and the light received. So let's begin. Let's begin. And we look first at the light revealed. The light revealed. Because throughout verses 19 and 21, you would have noticed that the author keeps referring to light. And then there's this contrast between light and darkness. There's this contrast. So who is this light? And what does it mean that the light has come into the world? The light has come into the world. What does it mean? If you turn back maybe two pages in your Bible, one page, and look at John 1:7-9, you see who John means when he says the light. This is the same light. And in a couple of verses, we can try and grasp the significance of what it means that the light has come into the world. Notice there in verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. So Jesus is the light, and he has come into this dark world. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who was with God in eternity, and who is God even today. Jesus, who is co-equal with God and co-eternal with God. There's Jesus who created the world and who is sustaining the world as we speak. God incarnated into human flesh, dwelling as a man among his creation. That's the weight of the light has come into the world. And we must not lose that weight. What it means that Jesus actually came into the world. We must not forget the extent of his condescension and the magnitude of his humility to come to the world. Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, came in this dark and evil world. He came into the world. He is the light of the world. And light in this context is referring to the revelation from God. That's what it's kind of focusing on when it's talking about Jesus, the revelation of God. It's God declaring a truth to creation. And Jesus is the ultimate revelation of truth. And truth makes some people uncomfortable and angry, but truth can guide and bring life to others. And so we see this link between light and truth or revelation in Psalm 119 in verse 5, where it says, you know the verse, it says, your word is a lamp onto my feet and a light onto my path. And it's this link, the same link that we see. Jesus is the light, is a light, is a lamp onto our feet and a light onto our path. So the phrase that says, the light has come into the world in verse 19 of our passage is saying that Jesus has come to proclaim truth about God, to proclaim truth about man. He is here to proclaim, he is the ultimate revelation of God. And yes, we know, before Jesus came, there was some general revelation about God. We could know that God was powerful. We could know that God was wise. We could know that God was holy because of the law written on our hearts. But in a way, it was blurry. It wasn't defined. But Jesus made things clear and explicit. When Jesus taught, he had a light that shined right into our lives of who God is and who man is. Because think about it. Jesus says not only murder is wrong, but even unrighteous anger is sin and worthy of condemnation. He shines that light of truth into our hearts. He declares that not only adultery is wrong, but that looking with lust at someone is also wrong. It's piercing, it's revealing light, which shines into the depth of our dark and evil hearts. But the truth that Jesus declares isn't just about exposing our sin. That's not the only thing that this light reveals. It's also a light that shines a path to safety. A path to safety and to salvation. The light coming into the world, Jesus coming into the world, is a beacon of hope. It's like a lighthouse in a storm. It doesn't just show us the treacherous rocks where we could be shipwrecked on. It can also lead us to safety. And to follow the instructions of the lighthouse means life, but to ignore the lighthouse means shipwreck and death. And so Jesus shows us a way to be made right with a holy God. At the cross of Christ, the beacon of light shines to all who will see, to all who would believe. Because at the cross, he displayed that the sin of sinners can be paid for. At the cross, he took the sin of sinners and paid the punishment in their place. At the cross, he died for sinners so that they may live. The cross is the lighthouse in this dark world. Shining forth the justice of God, shining forth the mercy of God in the way of salvation. The work of the cross, the work of Jesus on the cross, is the light of salvation in this dark world. So it's no small thing when we read that phrase, the light has come into the world. The light has come into the world. Just think and pause about that for a moment. Just think about it. What if Jesus had not come 2,000 years ago? What would things be like today? What if he hadn't actually come? There would be no hope. There would be no hope in this life. There would be no hope in this dark and evil world. There would be no hope for the destructive behaviors we see all around us. No hope for the sin in our own hearts, the consuming sin in ourselves. But Jesus did come. He did come. The light has come into the world. And so take some time to marvel at that, to really let that sink in and let that dwell into your heart. Dwell on that significance that Jesus has come to declare truth and to shine in this dark world. Marvel that God has chosen to act favorably towards humans, towards you and me. That God had compassion on us and chose to send his Son to rescue sinners. That we were not left in a dark forest with no hope of rescue. Because God didn't have to, but he chose to. He chose to send his Son to reveal his truth and to rescue us. He chose to send the light in this dark world. So we can thank God. We can thank God for one, that we don't need to guess about the nature of man. When Jesus came to earth, he clearly declared the state of man, what we're like. We can know what's going on in our hearts. We can actually know that with confidence. We don't need to guess. The human heart is dark and evil in its natural state. And now we know, countless books have been written to try and decipher, to guess the truth about the human heart. We think of lots of books of psychology. But when the light came, it shone clearly and it revealed the truth about the human heart. It revealed how dark it is. So we don't need to guess. We don't need to undertake countless studies over decades to understand the nature of man. We don't need to scrutinize the behavior of man and come up with fancy theories to understand the human condition. We don't need to look elsewhere, and we don't need to be swayed by these latest studies or research. Jesus, in his light and his truth, he reveals who we are and the state of our hearts. We are sinners in need of a Savior. Sinners in need of a Savior. But it's not only possible to know the truth about our human hearts, it's also possible to know how we can be saved. Because when Jesus came to earth, he came to rescue sinners. He came to rescue sinners. Are you a sinner today in need of rescue? Do you feel the dark world around you closing in and you wish to escape? Do you feel your heart inside of you condemn you with sin that plagues you, the lust, the jealousy, the hatred, the fear, the selfishness, the pride that just guilt upon guilt just grows? Do you feel that weight of guilt? Do you want to be rescued by the light of the world? Or do you want to remain as you are and perish in the darkness? Because Jesus is the light of the world. He can rescue you from your sinful heart and from this sinful world. Through his life on earth and his death on the cross, he made a way for sinners like you, like me, to be accepted into heaven. Believe in that work of Jesus and you will be saved. To not believe is to remain in your condemnation. And it's never too late. It's never too late while you have breath in your lungs. But you cannot make that choice too early either, because you don't know. You have no idea when your last breath will be. So turn to Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus, turn to him today. Believe in his name and trust in him that he has paid your sins. Some will reject the light and others will receive the light. Which will you do? Which will you do? Now let's think further on that. Let's think further on what it means to reject the light. And what does that matter? And this brings us to the second point of our study. The light rejected. The light rejected. And please look at verse 19 and 20 of our passage again. The light rejected. The verses say, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. In verse 18, just before this passage, Jesus presents a simple distinction. Really clear, crisp, simple distinctions. There are people who believe in him, and there are those who do not believe in him. Those who believe are saved. Those who do not believe are condemned. Look in verse 18. He says, he who believes in him, that's in the Son of Man, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And here in verse 19, Jesus further explains his condemnation. And the condemnation really revolves around this rejection of the Son of Man, this rejection of Christ. The rejection of Jesus outweighs all other reasons for their condemnations. Yes, breaking the law of God requires just punishment. But, as we've just seen, there's a way to escape that just punishment through the work of Christ on the cross. But if you reject the only hope to save you, if you reject that, then you are truly and utterly condemned. And there is no hope if you reject that only safety. And we read here that men love darkness and they hate light. This is the state of the natural man, the unregenerate person. Anyone who has not been brought back to life through the work of the Holy Spirit loves darkness and hates the light. These verses are describing an unregenerate person. And what is the response of an unregenerate person to the truth of Christ? Their response to the truth about themselves, their sinful heart, and the truth about the way to salvation? Well, they love darkness and they hate the light. They love evil and they hate the truth. The unregenerate person prefers to live without any knowledge of their own sin. And they hate the mention of any mention of changing their own life. They hate the thought of submitting to Christ and his word. And that hatred leads to action. Because what happened? What happened when the unregenerate person heard the teaching of Jesus and even saw the miracles of Jesus? What was their response? They hated him. They hated him with a passion. They hated him so much that they went to great lengths to shut him down, to keep him quiet. They hated him so much that they murdered him. But we know the story. Christ rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. And after he ascended to heaven, that hatred couldn't be directed to him anymore. So it was directed to his word and to the people who proclaimed his word. And throughout history, Christians have been hated. Hated simply because they proclaim the truth. They shine the light of Christ. They proclaim the light to unregenerate people who love darkness and hate the light. And where does this hatred come from? Why did the people hate Jesus so much? Why did they hate him? And why have Christians been persecuted again and again and again throughout history? And of course, we can study the Gospels and we can understand the power dynamics of the high priests and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all wanting power and Christ seeming to take that away. We can look to church history and we can understand this, the different reasons why Christians were persecuted and why they were so suspicious of others. But there's really one core reason, one reason why they were hated. And here Christ tells us this reason, the source, the roots behind all this hatred. Why did men hate the light? And the answer is almost too simple. Because their deeds are evil. Their deeds are evil. And we see that spelt out in verse 19. It has nothing to do with a lack of knowledge, but a love for their sin. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. And it makes sense that they hate the light because it exposes their evil deeds. It's brought to the forefront. It's made obvious. Just like a child stealing a cookie in the cookie jar in the middle of the night. And then the light gets turned on and they're found with their hand in the cookie jar. The light exposes them. And in the same way, the light of Christ exposes the sin in people's hearts. And no one likes to have sin exposed. No one likes to have this light shining in their hearts, telling them, this is wrong. What you love is sin. What you love is bad. Especially those who have no desire to change, no desire to be made right. Those feelings of shame, conviction, humiliation are so unpleasant. But it can be crushing. It can be so crushing to the unregenerate soul. And all of these are underpinned by pride and a hard heart. And these will lead to anger, to hatred, to the one who has exposed that sin. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. This person has exposed the sin and made me feel in a bad, horrible way. So I hate them. I hate them for that. And this is the motive of hating Jesus and hating his word. That is the motive for people rejecting the light. People don't want the truth if it means they can't live the way they want to. Unregenerate people want to live free from any system of morality, any system of accountability. The light shines on such people, but like insects, after you've kicked over the log, they scramble back into the darkness as soon as they can. And if you're not careful, they're going to sting you in the process as well. And so to reject the light, as we've seen, is decisive. It's clean cut. To reject Jesus is decisive. To reject Jesus is to spit on the only offer of salvation that God provides us. It's to spit on this offer of freedom that the God of the universe presents to you. Regardless of your past sins, this alone will condemn you. Jesus is the only chance of salvation. There's no other way to deal with your sinful heart and the punishment that your sin deserves. To reject Jesus is to reject the only offer of salvation. To reject Jesus is like punching a fireman in the face as he's trying to rescue you out of a burning building, and you punch him in the face and you slam the window back on him as he's trying to help you. And this seems ludicrous. But that is exactly the response of many. But don't forget, the reason people punch the fireman in the face, the reason people hate Jesus is because they love their sin. They love their sin and they don't want to stop it. So when you think of your family member that you've shared the gospel with again and again, or that work colleague who seems to understand the gospel but has no desire to change, when you think of those people and you think to yourself, what's going on? You've explained to them their sin. Yep, you've explained that to them. You've gone through the law. And they agree with you that they're sinners. Okay, they're sinners, and they would deserve hell. You've brought them to that place. And then you explain to them that you can be saved from hell through the perfect work of Christ. Jesus offers this to you. All you need is to believe in him and be saved. Tick, you've explained the work of the cross. But then they shrug their shoulders and they say, oh yeah, that's nice, but that's not for me. You do your thing. That's nice? Like, that's all they come up with? What's going on? You've just explained to them how you can be rescued from hell, eternity in hell, and they say, that's nice, and they dismiss it? Why do they not commit to Jesus and trust in his work and join those who are saved from hell? What's missing? Nothing is missing. The reality is They love their sin. They love their sin. They don't want to part with their sexual immorality. They don't want to part from their drunkenness. They don't want to stop living for their own pleasures and happiness. They don't want to give up being lord over their own lives. That's the real issue. Your unregenerate colleague, your unregenerate friend, family loves darkness. They love their evil deeds. And that's why they want nothing to do with the light. So don't be surprised if people end up hating you too. They murdered the source of light. Will they do any less to those who are seeking to reflect that light with their words and their deeds? Jesus tells us that his followers will be hated just like he was hated. Further in the book of John, in chapter 15, we read that. In chapter 15, verse 18 and 27, we read that Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me first. It hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So don't be discouraged if your faithful sharing and living of the gospel is not making you friends with the world. And this is even harder when it's a family member who hates the light. Speaking truth to them in that situation may cause them to hate you. When you speak truth to them and they love darkness, they may end up hating you for it. But don't be discouraged. This is exactly what our Savior told us would happen. In fact, be encouraged. Be encouraged if you are hated by those who love darkness. Because as Christians, we will always be shining a light. We will always be shining a light. And it could be a small light, like a little hand torch, where you share what you did on Sunday maybe, or you share that you did some volunteering at this Christian ministry. Or maybe it comes in conversation and you say, "No, I don't live with my girlfriend," or "I don't live with my boyfriend. We wait to get married to live together." Or that you're not really interested in drunken parties. Or that you don't really support this LGBTQ movement. That's just not what you're behind. And these are small ways. These are small ways that the light of Jesus shines into the people's lives. And even that makes people uncomfortable and makes people not like you. But imagine when you explain in plain language that sleeping with someone before marriage is sin, that drunkenness is sin, that homosexuality is sin, that trying to change gender is sin, that men and women have different roles in marriage, that pride is sin, that being obsessed with your own happiness, your own selfishness is sin. And now you're shining the headbeams right into people's lives. You're shining lights into people's lives and they won't like it. They will hate you for it. They hated Jesus for it and they will hate you for it. And that is what Jesus warned us would happen if you are truly reflecting his light. But make sure that it's the truth that offends your colleague, your family member, and nothing else. The truth will offend them, but make sure that nothing else offends them. The means, the approach, your tone, your attitude, as you share this truth with them, should be steeped in love and grace and a desire to see them changed. If they choose to be offended by the message of truth, that's their call. But our goal as messengers is to share this truth in love. And we feel this tension. We feel this tension, especially with family members. But don't let that stop you. Don't let that stop you from sharing the truth in love and letting them decide if they choose to hate you or to love you for it. But let's move on. Let's move on from those who reject the light, who hate the light, who love the darkness, and consider those who receive the light. There we'll look at verse 21, those who receive the light. And verse 21 says, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Now, these verses are describing a regenerate person, one who has been brought back to life by the Holy Spirit. And this is in complete contrast to the person who was described before, the unregenerate person. Because this person does the truth. That is, they live by the truth. They hear the word of Jesus declared, and they act based on that. They call sin for what it is, and they seek to act faithfully to what he requires of them. Good is defined as God defines good, and evil is defined as God defines evil. They live out the truth as it is presented in the person and in the word of Jesus. And this person, this regenerate person, runs their life by the word of Christ, the light of Christ. He is the light who directs their steps. He is the light who makes their paths straight. This person is directed by the light as he makes decisions about life, be it small decisions in the moment, when you're being tempted and you're saying, no, I'm going to choose what Christ wants me to do. Or big decisions that change the course of life. This person's life is characterized by obedience. Now, this is not saying that a regenerate person will never sin. It's saying that a regenerate person is characterized by loving the light, loving the word, wanting to do what's right, loving Jesus and loving his word, which points them in the right path. Instead, as we saw, of being characterized by loving sin and hating the word. And so it follows that this person, this regenerate person, is drawn to the light. They want to hear the words of Christ. They want to understand the commands of Christ and do these commands. These are the deeds of a regenerate person that characterize their life. And so they don't mind if the light of the word shines on their deeds, because these deeds are good and right, and there's nothing to hide. There's no shame or guilt as the light shines on them. But not only is there no shame in their deeds, but they want their deeds to be seen. They want their deeds to be clearly seen because it brings glory to God. Because notice at the end of verse 21, there's a very, very subtle but very important sentence there. End of verse 21 that says that they have been done, they, that's their good deeds, have been done in God. The regenerate person wants their deeds to be put on display because these good works are done in God. These good works are bringing glory to God. Because why is it possible that a person is able to do good works? It's only possible because God has given them a new heart. It's God who gives them the motivation. God gives them the means and the strength to do these good works. These good deeds are done in God, in God's strength. And so there's no boasting in these good works. Those who receive the light are in fact no better off in and of themselves than those who rejected the light. God did not choose to save them because they would eventually be able to do good deeds. Good deeds are only done by God's grace and the strength of God. And so there is no boasting to be done by these good deeds. So verse 21, that whole little verse gives us really a balanced view of a regenerate person. Their life will be changed. Their life will be drastically changed. Their life will be characterized by a love of Christ instead of love for darkness, sin, and evil. They will want to live by the truth instead of suppressing the truth. They will not want to please themselves, but they'll want to please God and glorify him. There will be a distinct change in their view of sinfulness and sinful attitude and sinful actions. But that changed life is the fruit of the work of God in their lives. Nothing else. It's the fruit of the work of God in their lives. They did not work hard and somehow gain God's favor. They do these good deeds in God's strength. They do these good works in the strength of God, in the strength given by God, as described by the word of God. So take every opportunity you can to be exposed to the light. to be exposed to the Word of God. This is how the light of Jesus shines in our lives today. And we know we've seen the light. We're on this path of salvation. But we still live in a dark world. And His word is a beacon we need to chart our lives by. It's the lighthouse we need to keep in our sights, lest we be dashed on the rock. So keep persisting in your daily devotions, reading the Word daily, being pouring into His Word. It's never wasted time, but it's a time where Jesus sheds His light on your life in a very real way. It sets the course of your life, of your day, every single day. And keep up the diligence to attend the midweek studies and your commitment to the Lord's Day's worship. These are the means that God chooses to illuminate our paths with His light. And in these times, the light, God's word, is turned on bright in our lives. Our lives are changed by it. They're exposed to it. And this gives glory to God. Because our reaction to the light is so different from the world, because our actions are so different from the world. And it can be hard. It can be hard to be distinct from the world, to say difficult truths, and to not do sinful activities when every single person around us is doing and saying those things. We will be quickly sidelined or ignored at best, or hated and persecuted at worst. And are you okay with that? Have you come to terms with that? Do you expect that? How are you coping with that? Are you prepared for the time when your brother hates you for calling homosexuality sin? Are you prepared for the time when your niece or your cousin hates you because you say that living with your girlfriend or your boyfriend is sin? Are you prepared for that? It really comes down to who you want to please and who you want to be accepted by. By this world or by Jesus? If you fit in with the world, you will hate the light when it shines. But if you love the light, you will not fit in with the world. And as hard as it is good and bright. And there is hope if you do not fit in with the world and your worldly colleagues and your worldly family. And in those moments of rejection, in those moments of hatred, remember who you want to please, the world or Jesus. Also remember that Jesus will expose all sin, and all sin will need to be given account for. So don't give up. Don't give up for standing up in this world. Keep standing strong. Don't give in to the pressures around you. Persist. Persist in these good deeds. Persist in shining the light. Persist in following the light. Look to Jesus. Look to Him for approval and no one else. But don't let your good deeds or your good decisions lead to pride. Because the reality is that you are no better than the drunkard, no better than the sexually immoral people around you, no better than those who gossip constantly, and those who disobey their parents constantly. Your actions may be different, but it's not from your own efforts. You have been transformed by the grace of God, not by your own hard work, not by your own grit and determination. You were just like them before. We were all just like them before. Your good work, or your abstaining from sin, is purely by God's grace, by God's unmerited favor towards you. Yes, you are shining the light of Christ in the dark world and living a changed life. But the source and the strength for that changed life is all in God and for God's glory. And this underlying motivation is so important. As Christians, as followers of Christ, as people who are in Christ, our purpose is to do good and glorify Him. Not to do good and elevate ourselves. Think of Matthew 5, verse 16. Jesus makes this so clear. He says, "Let your light shine before men. Let it shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And glorify your Father in heaven. There is absolutely no room to glory for ourselves when we realize that our changed life is all because of what Christ and what God has done in us. We are simply a mirror. We're a mirror that reflects the light we have received from Christ into this dark world. And then if any glory comes back, we reflect it straight back to Christ. A mirror which shines all the glory to him and all the light from him into the world. That is why we have been saved. That is our joyous purpose, to do good, to glorify him. To do good, to glorify him. So as we bring this time to a close, as we start to think about this passage as a whole, let's think upon these words. Think upon these words of Christ, these few verses that we've said. The light has come. The light has come into the world. Jesus has come into this dark world and turned this world around. And when he came, he showed us truth about ourselves. He showed us how sinful and in need of a Savior we are. But he also showed that he is the Savior. He showed us the path of salvation on how we can be saved. And some rejected him. Some rejected him in his time, and some reject him today, because they loved their evil deeds and they did not want to let go of their sins. And since they rejected him, since they rejected the only hope of salvation, they stand condemned. They stand condemned. Yet some received the light. They accepted it. They accepted this gracious gift from Christ. And now their entire life is characterized by a desire to live for God's glory, by God's strength. And their life is characterized by good deeds that bring glory to God. And so which are you? Which are you this morning? What is your reaction to hearing the word of God? When the light of God's truth shines into your life, how do you feel? Do you feel like you're being exposed and you wish it would stop and you want to hide from the light of God's truth? Do you hate the guilt and the shame you feel when the word of Christ shines onto your life? Do you reject the light? Or maybe when you hear the word of God, you rejoice. You see it as a guide in this dark world. And you want your deeds, you want your whole life to line up to what God commands you to do. You thrive by being in the light. And you realize that God is working in you to give him glory and to proclaim his name. So we're all either one or the other. There's no middle ground. If up to this point you have rejected the light, now's the time. I plead with you. Now's the time to change your mind, to accept Christ as the light, to accept Christ as your Savior, as one who has paid for your sin. But if you have received the light, then rejoice. The light shines into your life, and the light will guide you home. And we started by discussing how dark the world we live in is. So what is the hope for this dark world? And there is only one hope, because there is only one light. One light. Because the real problem with this world is that people love the darkness and hate the light. People love their sin instead of the truth. People's hearts are the source of the darkness in this world. And so only the one light, only Jesus can change people's hearts. Only the work of Jesus on the cross can remove this love for sin. That is the hope. That is the real hope for this dark world. So if you want to escape the darkness, the condemnation, receive the light. But don't stop there. Share the light of Christ in this dark world. Pray that others would receive the light and not reject him. Keep shining the light of God's truth on the life of sinners around you. And be prepared. Be prepared to bear the consequence, just like our Savior, to be hated for shining truth in people's life. Jesus has rescued you and me from this dark world, and he can rescue many other sinners too. So pray for that family member. Pray for that colleague who may already hate you. Pray that God would do a work in their lives. Pray that God would use you to shine his light and give him glory. And that they wouldn't stop and hating you, but that that would turn around and that they would see their sin and love their Savior instead. So don't give up. Shine the light of Christ in all these things.